start it. All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the latest episode of Apple at Work. This is a podcast where we talk about all things Apple and the enterprise and K-12 healthcare and everything in between. I'm your host, as always, Bradley Chambers, and this week I have Kevin Coulivar from Lock & Charge on the show. Kevin, welcome to Apple at Work.
Thank you, Bradley. Appreciate you having me on the show.
So, you know, obviously, like every Apple device outside of a couple, they really rely on batteries and charging. Talk to me about what Lock & Charge does.
Yeah, Lock & Charge has been around since the late 90s. We're an Australian-based company, and our core principle is really maintaining, charging, storing, and securing mobile devices, whether it be in a school or a business. So really anyone that's deploying mobile devices in mass, we're kind of the last mile of that delivery to the end user or for the management for the IT folks. So we build charging stations, we build lockers, and we build charging carts, as well as now some UV sanitation for mobile devices.
And I think the security is what a lot of people kind of forget about with their mobile device story, because obviously, like, you want to make sure they're charged. If students come in, if employees come into work and they're using the devices, you want to make sure they're charged and ready for the day. But when you've got devices that are can be easily walked out of the building, but they're also kind of expensive, you do need to make sure that you can account for where they're at. And particularly when a school may have, potentially thousands of devices that are on their campus all throughout the weekend, you may have people coming and going, third-party contractors doing maintenance work. If you have a third-party custodial crew, it's companies that are like not a part of your quote-unquote family. It's like just protecting those is certainly very, very important.
Yeah, it's definitely a pain point. What we've learned over, nearly two decades of doing this and working with folks really in the heart of that mobile device management is that lost devices, device theft, and the apps and data not being up to date are really, that's a quarter of the problem right there. And that's that can take up a lot of time and a lot of energy. And you think about it, if a school or a business has 1,000 iPads, for example, and on an annual basis, let's say 15 to 25 of those go missing for some odd reason, somebody has to figure out where they are and what's going on with them and who took them. And there's a lot of labor and a lot of time consumed with that. So we really try to help organize and simplify it on the back end so that we can help reduce that loss or that theft.
Yeah. And you think about when you start accounting for like what a Lock & Charge solution would cost, if you can reduce that theft essentially down to zero, in some ways it almost pays for itself.
Yeah, what we see in a lot of cases is after somebody tries our product and starts using them in the back end of that IT management, it typically is, hey, we have another project coming up, and it then becomes an assumed thing that you want to have in it. And in a lot of cases I see, it's something you don't think about on the front end of a deployment or the front end of a pilot program of how really important that organization is. And if you think about like the cleanliness and the cable management and how all of those little things save time throughout a deployment, it's a really essential component of scaling device deployments, especially in the enterprise.
Talk to me about the Lock & Charge cloud solution with your smart towers. Like, what's the overall use case there?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. We talked a little bit early right here is knowing who has the device, when they have them, and I can give you a quick scenario for a checkout. So break fix is a workflow that a lot of IT departments in both schools and in the corporate space manage. And typically, if I were to ask you, like, how long did it take you to get a device replaced if you had a broken iPad or a tablet or a phone? And typically it's, everywhere from 3 hours to a week it could take if you had to ship it up, pack it up, ship it, send it back in. And the genesis of the cloud is we've always made lockers. And our customers were telling us, wouldn't it be nice if those lockers could start to perform some level of automation so that I can leave spares in them that are ready to go? I can know who accesses that locker, when they access it. I can start to build integrations into ticketing software and things like that. So over the past few years, we've really dedicated a lot of our innovation time, and we've hired a new CTO over the past couple of years, brought on a lot of software developers. So we're really seeing a massive pivot, especially in both schools and corporate space, to have that device awareness of where it's at. And it really goes back to that pain point of lost devices, theft, and really managing them with some level of knowledge, as well as now being able to be hands off. Right. So there's a new, the new world that we live in is IT people can't be out there with the end user or a student and touching them and handing things off. You got to have a way to be able to do that. But then our cloud system is able to track who opens a door and gives insights into to the IT folks, so they have peace of mind about how they're distributing devices.
I really like the networking kit you can add on to that. So I'm really envisioning a scenario where you maybe have your, even if it's like just in the IT department, but where you keep devices while you're imaging them, you plug them in there, you get them charged up, they're connected to Ethernet, they're downloading everything on a very fast network without overwhelming the Wi-Fi network. There's a lot of really neat use cases you can do there. And certainly since you all have, there's an API there using your cloud, you can really integrate that into, a lot of different platforms.
It's kind of endless if you start to think about where IT departments can start to take this. And a lot of things, again, that they used to do individually to individual devices in the back of the house, is they would fix them and restore them and do that, is now we're starting to think of this vending machine concept of, like, I can heal that device potentially in the container. And I can know how to distribute that device and how to do that. And the network kit, yeah, which is a accessory, it's just a 3U chassis that you can put your own switch in and then put Ethernet into each bay and get that access to that high-speed data transfer if you're pushing out a lot of updates or things like that, or healing devices, et cetera. So, yeah, it was one of those things that actually came from an idea from one of our customers who was really looking at they said, well, what does it look like if we put Ethernet inside each bay? And we had an older locker that we were able to kind of innovate with them and show them some pictures. And it was really kind of that story of how it evolved from a customer conversation and a need. And now what we're seeing is a lot of IT departments have that need.
Well, and then you start thinking around, because the doors can be accessed via like RFID or a PIN code. In the future, you think, well, maybe this could be hooked into our access control system. And when we go to deploy new devices, we stick it in there. We say, hey, your laptop is in tray one. Again, just to kind of keep that social distance between the IT and the staff, your laptop is in tray one. You can come unlock that and grab your laptop and put your old one back in there, and we'll desanitize it and, go through the process of de-imaging it. Really that hands-off kind of automated solution that really, I would imagine, gives a lot of organizations massive scale when it comes to deployments.
Totally does. And if you think about, even with the pivot with schools of having to really truly go one-to-one in a short period of time, like the questions that we got are from, especially from a lot of school districts, was, how do I distribute devices without touching them to a large number of students that the breakage rate, it actually, it happens. It's a reality of it. So how do I get them a replacement without having to be this kind of geek squad mentality where you have to one off on everything? And we've got a fair amount of school districts that are starting to now pilot this. And we'll see through the summertime as this new world and the new school system kind of sets up in the fall of how these fuel towers and smart lockers and Lock and Charge Cloud really can help enable them to distribute and manage the devices.
This week of Apple at Work is sponsored by iMazing Configurator. If you've been around the iOS scene for a long time, you know that iMazing is a very, very popular app for kind of going deep on iOS and iPadOS data. I've used iMazing for years to save file space on devices when people bring me their phones, they're completely full and they can't figure out why. iMazing has always been the tool I've used. And they have a new tool called iMazing Configurator that is really, I look at as the Swiss Army knife for Apple IT admins. It builds upon what Apple Configurator can do and really takes it to the next level. With iMazing Configurator, you can design blueprints in a very readable and very easy to understand interface before applying them in bulk to iPhones and iPads and Apple TVs. You can back up and erase up to 20 iPads at a time. Obviously, you'll need a massive USB hub, but Amazon has plenty of those, and they work great. You want to check that out. Again, you can launch single app mode. So let's say you have a restaurant POS system that you want to use, but you don't want to use an MDM. You just want to say, hey, I want to put this app on these iPads and lock it to that. iAmazing Configurator can do that. Because iAmazing runs locally, it can perform backups and backup restores. It can push custom apps, contacts, media, and files. And this is especially important for large files. So let's say you're a museum and you're trying to preload 30 videos on a custom application for your museum. iAmazing Configurator can do that a lot faster than you can pushing it out from the web, having to download it over the internet. Again, this is all happening locally over USB. iAmazing Configurator is also MDM aware and is compatible with devices that are already in the device enrollment program through Apple Business Manager and Apple School Manager. Again, this is one of those tools that once you have it, you'll never want to manage devices, deploy devices without it. Request your free trial of iAmazing Configurator at iAmazing.com/configurator. Again, that's iAmazing.com/configurator. Thanks to iAmazing for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Let's talk about UV1. I imagine this is a pretty new product for you all.
It is. It's really interesting that we've been working on this for a couple years in the background. And the genesis of it was to really think about it from a hub and spoke model, right? Where you can, in 30 seconds or less, disinfect a device, but I'm not necessarily worried about charging storage and security of it. So when we started learning from our a lot of healthcare customers that speed and the ability for the nurses or the healthcare staff to be able to do disinfection on demand, that's where we really started to look at UV1 as the solution for that. So we've been working on that in the background for a while, and it's just kind of a timely thing now that both from a lock and charge cloud perspective of empowering the smart lockers to UV1 are starting to really help empower that more touchless mobile workforce.
Yeah, it's, I think that's obviously, like you said, you guys have been working on this for a while, but it's really coming at a time when a lot of schools are, you know, really seeking like, hey, how do we keep these devices disinfected in the day? And then maybe just even like, how do we bring them to, when they're coming in to repair to the IT department, how do we ensure that we're not, you know, we can hand them back in a way that we're not just like dousing them with Clorox wipes over and over and over again, or, you know, and getting all yes. kinds of liquid. So when do you guys, I see on your website, it is shipping soon. When do you all plan to have this available to customers to purchase?
Yep. So we've had demo units in our hands, showing them to kind of some early stage customers in both the healthcare and the school space. And we'll start shipping, it's probably late summer right now, depending on transportation from our factory. So that's one of the variables based off the new world of some potential delays due to COVID. But we'd anticipate late summer right now. So the product, we have it set up and we're starting to do trainings with it and bring it to different types of virtual events. And we're getting a lot of really good feedback because of the simplicity of it.
Yeah, obviously it's compatible with any kind of tablet, iPhone. Obviously not compatible with laptops. I don't know, there's really not a way to place a laptop in there at that form factor. It doesn't look like it fits with the iPad Pro 12.9, but I imagine most healthcare and education environments are not using those. Most of them are going to be using the 9.7 to 10.2 iPad. So it looks to be really like kind of low tech in a way, high tech, but low tech. It doesn't look like it's, does it sound like something that requires to be managed and provisioned? You set it up once and it's very, very easy to use. And you can use it again at a reception desk, at the IT department, in the classroom. You really could see a world where in the future, this thing is built into some of your lockers as well. Sure. Things kind of keep going. This could be just kind of like step one of having this in every one of your products.
And I think that's typically the way that we see products being developed, is we put something out there that's relatively different and innovative and has a new workflow to it. So yeah, you're right. The technology behind it is extraordinarily sophisticated, but the user experience is really simple. And that was one of the goals of UV1, was to get that extraordinarily simple user experience. And now what we can do with that is start to see how our customers are using it and how the end users are using it, so that we could potentially start to connect other things to our cloud that give IT departments more insight, or health hospital acquired infection specialists more insight, or even schools more insight into what devices are getting disinfected and how they're getting disinfected. But to your point of like what size devices, yeah, our first stage is we really wanted to get about 80%. And we really focused around the iPad, the iPhone, and what can fit into it. So, yeah, we're really excited about bringing it to market. And the team that helped build this, we're really just proud of how they did that and how we brought it to market.
Well, and I know on the iPads that I manage, I actually have a QR code embedded in the wallpaper that if you scan it, would take you to the management system in the particular section for that device. So you could even envision a world where a future version of UV1, maybe UV2, could scan that QR code and somehow note in the system when this device was last disinfected. And so you could have a running tally of kind of how often your devices were being disinfected. Or, hey, these 10 devices have not been disinfected this week. We need to make sure these are disinfected by Friday. And again, that kid goes into HR is compliance, safety training, and not even just for schools, but also retail as well, where you see plenty of employees. When I go to the car dealership now, every employee there has an iPad. Well, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, those things go right in there. They can be picked up from there the next day. And you could even see a day where like maybe even wireless charging is built into one of these devices, where they can just sit in there overnight and charge, and it's ready to go for the next day.
Yeah, I think what you're alluding to is really this level of automation, right? So if you look at the Apple ecosystem and how well they've done as far as creating a more seamless ecosystem, and that's why you see such a rapid rate of iOS devices being used in the enterprise. And I think it's really then on companies like Lock and Charge, who are empowering that rapid deployment, to help follow that through on that automation, right? So the container and the cloud and all of the things that we build can help these pilot programs and these early stage things that the iOS platform is then able to help businesses run their businesses more efficiently and do, more accurate information at the car dealership, or more accurate restaurant tickets through the drive-through and things like that. But it's that last mile of the device and that knowledge of that that we're working really hard to be able to provide a really rich experience for the IT departments.
Oh, Kevin, I can't wait to try one of these. I think it looks fantastic. I think it's going to be in hot demand this fall, as a lot of schools are kind of looking for answers there. As we just saw, where the I saw an article in NPR last night where the American Pediatric Association is recommending schools back in session, full classrooms, and recommending that. And so it appears that schools are planning to come back, which I am excited about, but we do need to wait. We need ways that are not just Clorox wipes wiping on the devices every day. Those things can get soppy wet and get in the ports, and that's not good for anybody. So this looks to be a great solution. So Kevin, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to put a link to everything we've talked about in the show notes about Lock and Charge, Lock and Charge Cloud, and about specifically UV1. There's an awesome video that if you're listening, you want to learn more about it, you'll definitely want to go watch the video, and then you can request a virtual demo as well. Thanks everybody for listening this week. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate a 5-star review. Helps new people find the show. If you're in Overcast, give it a star rating. It helps recommend to other people as well. And we'll be back in a few weeks with another episode of Apple at Work.